Well, good morning. Visiting with us this morning, I want you to know from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, we are glad that you're here. And we want you to know and understand that our doors swing on welcome hinges, and any time that you can worship with us in spirit and truth, we want you to absolutely do so. And to the saints here, my family, I want you to know that we must keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, loving one another as Christ also loved us, and having a zeal and a desire for God's word as we strive to become better men and women of God. You know, I'm going to read it. This morning, I want to talk about, before I get in my lesson, about commitment. My first job was working in an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. Then I worked in the woods as a lumberjack, but I just couldn't hack it, so they gave me the axe. And after I tried to be a tailor, I just wasn't suited for it, so mainly because it was a so-so job. Next, I tried working in a muffler factory, but it was too exhausting. Then I tried to be a chef. I figured it would add a little spice to my life, but I just didn't have the time. I attempted to be a deli worker, but anyway, I sliced it. I couldn't cut the mustard. My best job was being a musician, but eventually I found I wasn't noteworthy. I studied a long time to become a doctor, but I didn't have any patience. I became a professional fisherman, but discovered that I couldn't live on my net income. I managed to get a good job working for a pool maintenance company, but the work was just too draining. So then I got a job in a workout center, but they said I wasn't fit for the job. And after many years of trying to find steady work, I finally got a job as a historian until I realized there was no future in it. My last job was working at Starbucks, but I had to quit it too because it was always the same old grind. The moral of this story is there are just some people who cannot commit to anything. And so this morning, I want to help us all understand as we go into the lesson this morning that commitment is necessary to build a personal and intimate relationship with Christ. If you're going to commit to anything this morning, if you're going to commit your life to anything starting today, let us be encouraged to commit to Christ. Amen. Authority is something in society that people don't like very much. We can all agree with that. I mean, we like the fact that we have authority, but we don't like to be under someone else's authority. And some of that is just the makeup of our society and the kind of culture that's been cultivated in America today. We live in a free country. And as a result, I think that we feel that we ought to do whatever it is we want to do anytime we want to do it. We just don't like the idea of being submitted to someone. We don't like someone telling us what to do. And this idea of not willing to submit to authority has plagued us not only in the world, but in the church today. I believe that we carry this attitude that submission to authority is weak. When you submit to someone else, when you're a grown man and you have to submit to another grown man, or you're a grown woman and you have to submit to another grown woman, or you were once a child and now you feel that you're an adult, you have to speak your mind and you don't want to submit to authority because it's a sense of weakness. And again, this way of thinking has manifested itself over and over and over again especially in this country. We've seen so many examples just in the year 2020 of people saying, I have a right to. It's my right to. I'm free to do whatever I want to do, but they fail to realize that we're under the authority of the law. There are rules and regulations that must be followed. But we live in a democratic society, so if we don't like our governor who is in office, what do? We simply just vote him out. If you don't like your professor in the class that you're taking, you just what? Simply drop the class. And if you're having some difficulties with a co-worker, you might just ask to be moved to another department. And if you're not satisfied with that, you go all out of your way to do what you can to make sure that they get fired. You know, we go as far as being so caught up in this ideology that if an elder or the elders make a decision pertaining to what we do at a local congregation, many will leave that work and go somewhere else, only to find out that they have to be under that authority as well. But I would like to suggest to you this morning, if you are striving to be a great Christian, if you're striving to be what I call a successful believer, I'd like to suggest to you, if you're ever going to reach your full potential in your walk with Christ as a child of God, that you must understand and realize that you have to submit to the authority of someone else. So I need for us, as we go through this lesson, I need for your minds and your hearts to be open to accept the fact that if you ever are going to be successful in your walk with Christ, I have to be willing to submit to someone else than myself. And of course, what I'm talking about is the authority of Jesus Christ. But if you're here this morning, and you claim to be a Christian, you call yourself a disciple of Christ, and if that's where you are, I need for you to understand that the love of God, what he has done for you and me through his son, Jesus Christ, I need for us to all to understand that if we are ever going to do what we say we are, and that is a Christian, we must understand what Christ did for us first. You have to understand that that ultimate sacrifice that he made when he walked up on the hill shaped like a skull, that was for you and for me. And if you're ever going to claim to be the Christian that you say that you are, you must understand there is no way that you should be able to live with yourself being a casual Christian. I'm talking about the type of individual who doesn't have the love in his heart. I'm talking about the person who's not willing to have the right attitude at all times. If you're really going to be a good Christian, if you're really going to be a follower of Christ, you have to be one who extends the love to your neighbor as yourself. You have to be the one who steps outside of him or herself in order to serve someone else. Not lacking love. And if you truly, truly are trying to be a successful believer in your walk in faith, all Jesus has to do is speak the word and you are willing to do it. You know, if you ask yourself, I wonder why there aren't so many Christians like that. I mean, I really want you to think about it. If Christ says do it, I'm going to do it. Whatever it may be, whatever he's instructing you, whatever he's commanding you to do, whatever he says, I am willing to do just that. But if you think about why we don't have that many Christians like that in the church today, I would like to suggest to you a few things that contribute to why we don't have just say the word Christians in the church today. The first thing I would like to point out is that some have what I call a knowledge problem. And I'm not just talking about an overall knowledge of the Bible. I'm not talking about dealing with doctrinal matters. I'm not talking about understanding scriptures and being able to quote scriptures. And again, those things are important. We need to be able to know what the scriptures are talking about in the context in which they're talking about and how to apply them and how to refute false doctrine. All of those things are important, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is having a lack of knowledge of how important it is to render yourself completely and submit yourself totally to the will of God and His Son, Jesus the Christ. Some have not really grasped what's needed. Some of us have not really grasped what the expectation is as a believer and a follower of Christ. Some of us have concluded that all we need is a little dab of religion. The young people, that's all we need is a little dab of religion. I'm still know what's going on. I still know what's happening. You just need a little sprinkle. All you need is just a little bit of dash of religion. You don't want all of it. You don't want everything that you can get out of the situation. All you need is a little dab. All I need to do is show up in the morning time, take communion, sing a few songs, say hi to a few people, and after that, you won't hear from me anymore. All I need is a little dab. I may not even show up for evening worship. I may just come on Wednesday nights, but all I need is a little dab of religion. That's what we have in the church today, because all I want is just a dab. And what I think about when all you need is just a dab, you're not a full-time Christian, you're a part-time Christian. You know what part-time work looks like, right? You're not working full hours, right? You're just doing a little bit, right? You work a couple of hours and you do just enough to get some money and maybe get some claim back on your taxes, but you're just doing just enough. And we have too many part-time Christians in the church today. And I want to encourage you and want you to know that God isn't satisfied with that. If you think He's satisfied with your part-time worship, with your part-time praying, with your part-time singing, with your part-time service to one another and to Him, you are sadly mistaken, because He is not pleased with that. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11. Or as the young people say, the electronic devices or your Macs or your phones. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11. I want to read verses 1 through 6. First Kings chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. And the infallible word of God reads, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, the Moabite, the Ammonite, the Edomite, the Sarmatian, the Hittite woman from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, 'You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Asheroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done." When I look at this, This brother has 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, I like to say this. I thank God for my wife, Dee Dee. But I promise you, all I need is one of them. Can you imagine 700 Dee Dees? And then 300 princesses that act like Dee Dee drive you up the wall. But my wife is good, and all I need is one. And for my young men out here that's looking for a woman, let it be a woman who loves the Lord. If you're going to be looking for somebody to spend the rest of your life with, you need to be spending the rest of your life with somebody who that you in turn can spend eternity with in heaven. But the case in point here with Solomon is this. His real problem was he ignored the will of God. He ignored it. But the reason why he ignored it, because his real problem was he wasn't fully committed. That's what part-time looks like. Well, you know who God is. You know what he's done for you. You understand the word. You may have obeyed the gospel. You've been in church for a while, and yet you have not given God your full heart, your total and undivided attention. Why? Because you are a part-time Christian. You clock in and clock out. Some Sundays you there, some Sundays you not. Some Wednesdays you there, some Wednesdays you not. Some Tuesdays you are there. Because we got to be Christians more than just on Sundays and Wednesdays. We have to be totally and fully committed Sunday to Sunday. So many of us serve them on Sunday and Wednesday, and then we serve in the flesh Monday through Friday. That's a part-time Christian. Let me ask you this question. When you go to work, man, do you give 100% when you go to work? When you do something, do you do it 100%? Anybody? Johnny, I could count on you, Johnny. 100%. And let's be clear, most of us do. And if we don't do, we try to give 100%. You know why? When you clock in at them folks' job that you work for, you give 100% because you know that there is a reward in the end, and that's you getting paid. That's money in the bank. So you give 100%. But why don't we do that with our Christianity? Is there not a reward in the end for being faithful, Greg? For being committed and giving God your whole heart, being committed when it's inconvenient, being committed when it's good, being committed when it's bad, being committed any and all times of your life. Isn't there not a reward that's in it? What reward is greater than heaven? It's definitely not a check. It's definitely not prestige, and it's definitely not a promotion. But we work that hard, giving 100% at the job that has no reward, cannot get you into heaven. And then when you ask somebody, do you give 100% to God? Well, you know, brother, I'm trying, man. You know, I give about 95%. I give about 94%, Mike. Well, how about this, Mike? I give 99%, Mike. That's 1% less than what God requires. So if you're giving 5%, if you give it 95%, it's not good enough. That makes you a part-time Christian. But when you're willing to give 100% of yourself to God, now you're saying to yourself that I'm a full-time Christian. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at verses 37 and 38. That's Matthew chapter 10. Look at verses 37 and 38. Talking about you giving 95%. That's 5% too little than what God requires. Matthew chapter 10, looking at verses 37, 38. The infallible word of God reads, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know what he's simply saying here? It ain't about hating your mama. It ain't about hating your husband. Because, you know, some folk take that and run with it. That mean I ain't supposed to like my husband. That's why I treat him the way I treat him. I supposed to treat my wife the entire way because the Bible say that I supposed to hate them folks. That's not what it's talking about. Let me tell you what it's simply saying. He's saying that I demand that you put me first in all that you do. It's before mothers, before fathers, before wives, before husbands, before children, before job, for money, before all those things. I demand that you put me first. So I had to put it in such a way that you understand that there is nothing more important than your relationship with me. What I desire for you is to make me first in your life. And too many of us relegate him to the back seats of our lives. That's where he is. That's where he sits, in the back. He don't sit in the front. Matter of fact, he don't even sit with you. He sits in the back. Man, let me ask you a question. I give you an assignment and tell me how it goes. I want you to relegate your wife to the back seat of your relationship. See how that go. Tell me how it work out for you. Wives, I want you to start telling your husband when he get ready to get in the car, no, you get in the back. Sit in the back. You sit at the kiddie table. See how well that works. And then now I want you to think about how that looks in terms of your relationship with Christ. When you relegate him to the back seat of your, Lord, you take a seat back there. I'll be with you in a minute because I have something else that's more important. My job is more important. I get to you when I can. My friends, my family is more important. I'll get to you when I can. I got all these things on my plate, Lord. So I don't have time for you like you want me to have time for you. But I know you. I love you. I know what you've done. But this is more important to me. And he's demanding that you put him first. All of those other things are secondary. Not one relationship is more important than your relationship with God. I can't name one. I love my wife to death. I will die for her. But she does not come before God. I implore you all today to understand what it means when you say, I no longer want to be a part-time Christian. I am saying today that I am a just say the word Christian. And I'm going to show you exactly what that looks like. I believe that you can't be as good of a Christian and hold and have a problem with submitting to authority. I'll say it again. I don't believe that you can be as successful in your walk with Christ and a Christian if you have a problem with submitting to authority or Jesus Christ. Now, listen, it's not that, and I'm not saying this because I'm not going to try to act like it's all good and it's all easy. I'm not saying that you like every commandment. And I'm not saying you're going to enjoy everything that God has commanded you to do. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that you need to do it. One of the things that I talked about in my sermon, loving your enemies. That's not easy for me. I'm sorry. It's not easy for me to get outside of myself to help somebody that wants to hurt me, that wants to harm me. That's my foe, my nemesis. Who means me no good, and I have to get outside of myself, outside of my flesh, and do what the Lord has told me to do, and that's to love my enemies. And my point is, you ain't gonna always like that. You ain't gonna always like the commandments. But generally speaking, though, we should enjoy submitting to everything and the authority of Christ. Don't you think we should relatively enjoy that, Kurt? That the Lord tells you to do something, and you a Christian, you said and made that vow that I'm gonna be committed to you, and what all comes with that. So what I'm saying to you is that, hey, I enjoy doing what you asked me to do. You know why? Because he did something that he didn't want to do, and he went to the cross for you and for me. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And you want to talk about submission? He had all power in his hand. He was raising people from the dead. He could do whatever he wanted to do. And yet he saw fit that I would submit to the authority of my Father. Could have wiped them jokers out. Just snapped his finger. Said, I'm done with this. Oh, y'all want to embarrass me? You want to put some crown of thorns on my head? You want to strip me naked and embarrass? Oh, okay. Done. But he didn't do that. Not my will, but your will. There's an example in the Bible that talked about somebody in particular who understood a little something about authority. Turn with me real quick and a lesson to be yours to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I want to begin with verse 5. Somebody who understood a little something about authority. I want to show you what a just to say the word Christian looks like. Beginning with verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. The centurion understood what authority meant. He got it. He understood exactly what it meant. You know why? Because he had it. He had authority. FYI to those of us in leadership, those who can take orders are allowed to give them. When you're a person that can humble yourself enough to take orders, you have earned the right to give them. When you as a father do what you're supposed to do, Kurt, Trent, when that time comes for you, and you do exactly what the Lord is telling you to do, and you submit to that, now because you have submitted your will to him, now that you have the authority over your children, you can teach them and tell them what they need to do. He could tell his servants to go and they go. He could tell them to do this or that and they'll be done. He could tell his servants to handle some things and they would handle. But even in his own authority, just as I talked about with Christ, he understood. He believed in Jesus Christ. He knew he was the Son of the living God. Don't we? Don't you know that he's the Son of the living God? So ask yourself why you're a part-time Christian. Check this out. When he spoke with Jesus, you could tell he had knowledge of his authority. He didn't approach him like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? What's up, homie? You know what I'm saying, Cliff? Yeah. It's cool. He talked with respect. And when Jesus said, I will come and heal him, he replies, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy. Maybe that's an attitude we need to get back to, that we're not worthy. We don't deserve this. You're not worthy of the blessings and all the things that you are able to enjoy in Christ. But you are able to because he loved you enough that he died and became the ultimate sacrifice. And all he's asking for your full and undivided attention, your whole heart. And all we do is give him our leftovers. Work your fingers to the bone at the job for the man. Then when it comes to serving God, you ain't got nothing left. You spend all your time back-breaking work. Somebody asks you to pray. You go, oh, man, I don't feel like praying. Ask me to pray. Ask me to serve. Ask me to do this. Ask me to come over and pick this up. Ask me to do this. I don't have time for that. Jesus understood it. He replies, I'm not worthy to come on the roof. And do you know what he says after that? Just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus recognized that as a great faith. I'll say that again. He said, just say the word and he'll be healed. And he recognized that great faith. So just for a second, as I close this, I want you to look at the words that the centurion spoke. Only say the word. Just say the word. I want to suggest to you this morning that the kind of Christian that you got to be is a just say the word Christian. All you got to do is tell me what to do, Lord, and I'll do it. That's all you got to do. I read your word. I see it plain and simple, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to go back and forth about it. You just say the word. And if you just say the word and I do it, what are you exercising? A great faith. That you trust in what God is telling you to do. Not in what you think, not what you believe, and what God is instructing you to do. What Christ has said and showed you in his earthly ministry. All I got to do, all you got to do is tell me and I'll do it. You know, just say the word Christian, somebody allows Jesus to have an impact on every realm of his or her life. Every realm. He allows Jesus to have an influence over decisions that he makes. He allows him to have a decision over his money matters. He allows him to have a decision over his money management. He allows him to have, it makes decision in his vocabulary, in his earthly relationships, in his marriage, and how he raises his children. In every aspect of your life, all you have to do is tell me, show me in your words what you expect from me as a man of God, and I will do it. I'm going to submit to the complete leadership and sovereignty of Jesus Christ. That's what I just say the word Christian is. You don't find loopholes when Jesus speaks or a way around the commandment when reading the word of God. You don't try to find a way to work through it. It is what it is. He said what he said. That's the kind of Christian that the church needs today, saints. That's what we need in the church today. That's exactly what we need. If the church ain't growing, it's because we got too many part-time Christians and not enough just say the word Christians. So when you look around and you say to yourself, why aren't we growing? Why is it that we don't have everybody here on Wednesday nights like they need to be when we're having Bible study? Why is not everybody here in the morning time doing Bible study? Half is not here, but more come at worship. What are they doing? Why are they not here? Because we got part-time Christians. Now, granted, I know that everybody has different things and stuff, you know, arises. I'm not saying that I'm not empathetic or I don't understand it. I have two small children. I get it. Sometimes people are sick. Sometimes last-minute things arise. But every Sunday, that's not good enough for God. I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry. But if you got a problem with what I'm saying, you ain't got a problem with me. You got a problem with God. It's time for us to stop being part-time Christians and be just say the word Christians. Y'all want to affect change in this community? Start being just say the word Christians. You want better relationships with your children? Be a just say the word Christian. You want a better marriage? Be a just say the word Christian. You want better relationships in and outside of church? You got to be a just say the word Christian. If I'm not sure about anything else, out of all the things that I said, it's that the gospel message is as powerful as it is, and it was 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. It hadn't changed, because people say it's these millennials, it's these young folks. Yeah, there's some truth to that. But the other part is that people think that the gospel needs some extra to be added to it. And it doesn't. It has the same power that it had when it was first preached. I think the reason why certain churches aren't growing because, like I said, it's filled with folk who don't want to do nothing. Let me tell you something. It don't matter if you don't like the command. It don't matter if you got to make some sacrifices. It don't matter if you're going to be inconvenienced. Lord, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I'll do it with a smile. You know why? Because I love you just as much as you love me. I think that's what we need in a local church today. I think that's we need more of that here at the South Fair Church of Christ. We don't need no more part-time Christians. We need more just say the word Christians. So I just want to say to you, are you a just say the word Christian? Or are you a part-time Christian? If you're here this morning and you're visiting this church and you may have not put Christ on at baptism, you have an opportunity to say to yourself, not only do I want to give him my whole heart, but I want to be a just say the word Christian. And if you are Christian and you've been part-timing, some-timing, half-timing, not whole percent, 99%, 95%, whatever your percentage is, if it ain't 100%, you can change that this morning. Listen. Christ thinks about you every second of the day, every minute. He loves you without fail. I'm telling you, it is a matchless love that he has just for you. And we can't even give him our time. We can't do what he's asked us to do when you think about what he sacrificed for you and me. What I do know is, on the day of judgment, it's going to be a glorious, glorious day. But it's also going to be a sad, sad day. Can you imagine that trumpet sounding and you knowing in that moment, and you're still alive, that you was a part-time Christian? You wouldn't just say the word Christian. I remember growing up, there were times where I thought that was it. You know, I was getting up and I heard some type of sound. It was just out of the blue. I was like, oh, man, I ain't going to make it. And that feeling alone made me say to myself, that's something that I don't want to be unprepared for. I did a sermon called, If Christ Came Back Yesterday, Where Would You Be? I ain't talking about this morning as you here at church. I'm talking about what you was doing yesterday. What you was involved in on Friday. If Christ came back then, would you go to heaven? And if you don't know, then you a part-time Christian. But the positive thing is you can change that. You can change that. So if you're here this morning and you're tired of playing games, you're tired of being a part-time Christian, you're tired of this half relationship that you have with him, you can change that this morning. You can change that this morning by becoming a Christian or being a more faithful Christian. If that is your desire this morning, please do not hesitate. Don't be afraid. I'll walk with you. If you want me to walk with you, I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. Whatever you need for me to do for you to understand that your soul is more valuable than your embarrassment. Your soul salvation is more important than you worrying about what somebody got to say about you. If that's your desire this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.